This is Lovecraft Country Chronicles, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please welcome your hosts, Mia Johnson and Natalie Zamora.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lovecraft Country Chronicles podcast. I'm Natalie Zamora, and I'm joined by my co-host here.
Hi, I'm Mia Johnson.
And we have so much to discuss per usual. Oh, I'm never going to open this up and not say that, but I mean, we have so much to talk about this episode 9. We're coming down to the finale. It's crazy. Where did the time go?
I know. I honestly can't believe it. And gosh, yeah, one more episode, but I'm excited to talk about this one first because this one was a doozy.
Yeah, there was so much. And so, Mia, what do you think was just your general reaction to this episode? What was like the tone of it? Was it scary? Was it sad? Because I came out of it very sad. I was very emotional.
Yeah, I was too. This one was the first thing that stuck out to me was that this was the first episode where the stakes felt real, like the stakes were high. And, you know, because before it was like, thinking like on episode 4 or whatever, it's like Atticus is going to the tomb. It's like, yeah, does he really need to do that?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times, like, do they really need to do that? But this time it was like, okay, Dee's life is at stake.
Yeah.
We've got to go back in time. This is the only way we can get the book. And we need, like, they went out to Christina for help.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so much was going on. And I thoroughly enjoyed this. And like I said, last week, it was like it finally seemed like they found their footing. They found their voice as a show. It was pretty consistent all across the board. And I'm sad that now, you know, it took like the last 3 episodes for them to finally have that feeling of consistency.
Yeah, I know. Because now I'm just like, okay, well, it's about to end. So cool. I need more. There needs to be more. But I agree. Yeah, I feel like most of the time, like you said, the episode when they went into the tomb and all of that, you know, it was like they were doing research. It was kind of just magic for the sake of magic.
Yeah.
Christina being crazy. And this one was like, oh, no, like this needs to happen right now or people are going to die.
Exactly.
So that was a lot. So I'll do a quick rundown of the episode. But before I do that, we want to plug another podcast, friends that we have. So the Crickets Podcast Network on Downright Creepy, it features 3 new horror podcasts that we think all of our listeners are going to want to add to, you know, your just podcast rotation. So from the macabre to the creepy, they have a show for every horror fan this Halloween season. Do you want to get some movie recommendations or hear about the best films in modern horror? Then the Creepcast is for you. It's hosted by Panic Fest co-founders who are Casey Canton and Adam Roberts. And you can check out the Crickets Podcast Network on downrightcreepy.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's right. It is creepy season. I was like, oh, yeah.
I know.
You all can't see in the background here, but I always like swap out some of the decor. Like my pillows are now orange on my couch.
Oh,
I have
cute.
An orange blanket and I have a couple of pumpkins behind me that you can't see. I usually don't go all out in my Halloween decoration, but I like, you know, like the subtle like HGTV way of doing it.
I know. That was me. I'm the same way. I'm like just little decorations. Definitely the pumpkin candle is a must.
Yes, I'm literally, and not to get too off topic, I'm literally going out to get some fall scented items, maybe some pumpkin spice or things like that when I'm done with work. So I'm counting down the hours till I can clock out.
Exciting.
Okay. All right, back to the program.
So this episode, it is called Rewind 1921, and that is literally what they did. They went back in time. So in the beginning, we see that Dee is sick from that spell that was cast on her in the previous episode. Her arm is all, you know, messed up from being, it was basically like slashed by the two little girls last episode.
Really gruesome.
Yeah. So now it's like really, really weird looking. She is like, you know, unconscious. She's not good. So they go to Christina for help. That's, I guess, just, you know, their only hope, their only, the last straw that they can do. So that was kind of a no-brainer. I was like, all right, let's get Christina up here. She's going to come eventually anyway. So let's get her help. So she agrees that she's going to help, except there's, of course, one condition because she always needs something. So Atticus has to go back to Artem the night of the equinox. And yeah, we know just from, I think, the previous episode and the one before that, that Christina has this plan the night of the equinox to become immortal somehow, even though we thought she might have been already. I don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, I had that down in my notes. I was like, so Christina isn't immortal, but whatever she did back at the docks or whatever in the last episode was just some sort of, you know, half step.
Yeah.
Which also I had a question in my notes as well. I gotta keep notes here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand why Christina, like, needs Atticus's blood to perform the ceremony. Is it for, you know, reasons?
I honestly don't know. Yeah, she's always, like, just so cryptic about everything that she needs. Yeah. So I feel like we're going to have to see it to understand.
Yeah, like, okay, I do get, like, they tried to explain it when they needed Atticus to open the portal to Eden. And apparently that was going to be some, I don't know, a great reset or something for Christina's father. And he died. But yeah, Christina doesn't really make it clear why they need Atticus unless they're still running off of this, you know, sort of rule where it's like you need someone who's close of blood or something like that. So,
yeah, that's the only thing I can like think of that would make sense, but otherwise it feels like she just has like something against Atticus at this point.
I know, like, it's your cousin, you know, let's let's be family, let's come together, let's go to Olive Garden. That's
that would be a good spinoff. So he agrees that he's gonna do that, and then Hippolyta comes back, thank goodness, and she's like, D's sick, you know, she's right back, mom figure, finally, thank God. And then so she proposes that they're going to use the multiverse time machine, which is what she calls it. And I was like, to go back to 1921 Tulsa to get the Book of Names, which is insane. And Montrose is like, going back to Tulsa, like, no, we're not, which we understand why later on in the episode. So Atticus, Letitia, and Montrose go back in time, and they try not to change anything in the past that could affect the future. You know, the whole butterfly effect thing going on, which is always terrifying. I'm always watching shows like that, and I'm like, don't do it.
I know. One thing, you know, touch one thing and it goes wrong. But yeah, they did a good job about that, minus that one little part about Atticus, which I guess was a weird self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't think that's necessarily the word for it, because this type of stuff doesn't happen often, where you go back in time and realize that you're the person who you were always talking about but didn't know who that person was.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah, that was really cool. I was like, oh yes, it's so cool. So obviously, yes, we both like this episode. I liked it a lot. Yeah. Did we like the structure of it, just having them? I thought so in the beginning, I was kind of like, this is kind of might be a throwaway episode, like just in the fact that they have to figure out so many things. So many people need to be informed of different things. So in the beginning, I was like, okay, let's see where this is going. But then when they did the time travel, I was fully, fully, fully into it. And I was really, really excited about it.
Gosh, yeah. And I said this last time, I was like, I know this isn't a sci-fi show, but that's where I lean more towards with my, the things that I like, basically, the type of shows that I like. So I was like, I understand they don't have to be completely sci-fi, but when they came back with this, when Hippolyta came back, and she was basically like, we're going to go back in time. I was like, yes.
Yeah, it really is, I think, a sci-fi show. Like maybe the second or third genre, but it's got a lot of elements in there.
So I was like, basically, you know, this is Doctor Who, just like my wish, my prayers have been answered. Hippolyta was basically like the Doctor. It was like, you know, now she could control this time machine. She was all powerful. And she revealed that she was there for 200 years.
Yeah, so, what?
Which for something so like mind-blowing, everybody there was like, all right.
Oh, I know. I feel like everyone just had their own agenda of like crazy stuff happening to them that they were just like, all right, you're back, just don't know what to do.
I know. But where does this rank though? Because Hippolyta living for 200 years in a parallel universe, almost to me top some of the other weirder experiences, maybe second to Letty dying and then being revived.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and they definitely did not make that a huge thing, like you said. So it was kind of just like, if you didn't pay attention for a split second, you would have missed it. But yeah, that's insane. And Atticus was there for like not long at all when he went.
So yeah, he was like in, and then they spit him back out. Mm-hmm. So his experience doesn't even care.
Yeah, honestly, it's crazy. I felt like this episode was kind of focused on Montrose the most. I mean, everyone had their own thing, and I think it showed the different relationships growing really well and developing. But I think Montrose was a real focus here because we get to see, you know, the major events from his past and how he's dealt with the trauma, or, you know, hasn't, just, you know, alcohol and whatnot, but how he's been trying to deal with it. And then he also, you know, drops the bomb to Atticus that Uncle George might be his father. And that was a huge, I was like, oh, Montrose was very, you know, dropping the reveals this time. And I liked it because so many times throughout the show, they don't communicate with each other, and they all know the same thing, but they don't know it.
That brings me to, I remember, was that in the last episode? Yeah, that was the last episode when they were preparing the spell for Atticus, the protection spell. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Montrose is always revealing these things, and that's when Atticus was like, well, do you have something else that you've been hiding? I don't know why that didn't register to me that would have been the other big secret that Montrose is hiding. Probably because it was one of those, you know, like, ironic situations where the audience knows, but not necessarily the character. So I was like, oh, okay. Literally, I just thought of that this moment. Like, oh, that's what he meant to tell, you know, Atticus.
I know. I didn't think of that either, just because we hadn't really, like, thought it hadn't been brought to our attention since, like, what, the second episode. Also, he just has so many secrets, so it could have been anything.
So this episode, I was... Still, I think this whole time I've just been struggling to either sympathize for Montrose or maybe I can empathize for him. Yeah. But the sympathy is kind of weird just because he has always been this aggressive character. He's always putting up a wall.
Yeah.
But it's like I get why he's putting up a wall. I get why he's done the things that he has done. I just think that guardedness still hasn't really made me love him as a, you know, as a complex character. It's really hard to explain. It's like, I've never been like, oh, poor, you know, Montrose, poor blah, blah, blah.
I know. I agree. Yeah. That was a question I'm thinking is, do we have sympathy for him? And I mean, in this episode, I feel bad, but also, you know, it doesn't warrant all the other things that he's done. Again, it's hard to say. Obviously, I haven't been in his position, so I don't know. But, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me that it's like he went through all this abuse with his dad only to do the same thing. I understand it's a pattern that it does happen. So I guess it does make sense, but I'm just watching him and I'm like, why did you do that? Like, why?
Yeah, I think what's frustrating, and again, I don't want to put this on the writers because it's, you know, it's a tool to show how this character is or isn't developing.
Yeah.
So I think it's more my frustration of literally just his personality that whenever it does feel like he's making a breakthrough or is opening up, then he kind of closes back up again. He gets defensive. He can't just be like, you know, he can't just let his guard down and tell Atticus everything, except for maybe at the end of this episode. Maybe that changes things a little bit. But for the most part, through his whole journey, it's always, you know, I'm going to open up and then I'm immediately going to close myself off again because I'm not, you know, he's still trying to find that confidence within himself, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe now, like, all the cards are on the table. I think we know mostly everything about, you know, what he's carrying, all that baggage. So maybe now that Atticus knows what happened with the Thomas, which we'll get into, and he knows, you know, that he's been with men and that his relationship with Atticus's mom wasn't entirely, you know, romantic. So maybe now, you know, he can be a bit more vulnerable and not just be a jerk, for lack of better words.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing with his friend Thomas. That was mm-hmm. very bittersweet because it does, you know, it makes you wonder what would have been if,
yeah,
you know, back in like the 20s, which is unimaginable. Like to, mm-hmm. it's like to think about where we are just with, you know, LGBTQ rights and acceptance now, where we're, you know, there's still some people who are unaccepting or who have, you know, all these yeah. sorts of opinions. So it's like, I can only imagine something being like back in 1921, where, you know, mm-hmm. you're black male and he's dealing with this queerness inside of him. That I can, you know, I'm a little more sympathetic to,
yeah.
Especially just after seeing that, the whole scene, he watched like two really heartbreaking scenes in his life again. The first yeah. one was, like you said, when his dad came out and just beat him open on the street.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And then the second one, which was very traumatic, was, yeah, seeing his friend Thomas die, just, you know, being shot cold blood, which, like, holy, that was a yeah, lot. That was a lot.
Yeah, that was very graphic, too. It's like, oh yeah. my God. It happened so fast. I was like, what did I just watch? Okay.
I know.
But yeah, that was really sad. So yeah, I felt really emotional for Montrose. Yeah, also for Atticus having to watch his dad go through it, because I'm sure Atticus had such, you know, torn feelings about it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to tell him, like, so basically Montrose is saying Atticus goes after Montrose because he thinks he's going to try to tell Uncle George that, you know, yeah. warn him about his death. And he finds Montrose, and it turns out, no, he wants to warn Thomas, the kid that, you know, he either, you know, had a crush on, or they were in a secret relationship or what it was. He was going to warn him that he was going to get shot. And Atticus is still just like, you can't do it, because yeah. what if I was never born then?
Yeah.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah, that would have been a lot at risk, because it would be Montrose, you know, would he even be sacrificing? He would be getting a gain from having that, you know, possible relationship somehow come to fruition in the future. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then that would mean he wouldn't have, you know, gotten with Atticus's mom, which mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out. It seems like they almost resolved the paternity thing, where Montrose was like, you know, I really, in order to prove his manliness, in order to cover, you know, cover up his sexuality, he was like, mm-hmm. I really, you know, the most important thing to me was having a son so that I could prove that.
Yeah.
So in that moment, it seemed like all of a sudden he became very confident that Atticus was his son again. I don't know yeah. if that was their intention or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting. And that was like his whole explanation for, like, no, I can save Thomas and still have you, because, you know, all I've ever wanted was, you know, to have a son. That was, you know, that was my point in life type yeah. of thing. And I was like, I don't know. I didn't like buy it that much because it was too risky. I don't know. Did you buy that whole explanation?
Yeah, it really, to me, was just a, and not in a bad way, a selfish thing to say, but it really, it was like, you know, trying to, gosh, and you know, you people say you can't correct the past. And this chance, mm-hmm. he did have a, you know, an opportunity to correct the past. But again, like I was saying, I think it would still be at the detriment of Atticus. Like, really, yeah. it really would have been a Back to the Future thing where, you know, Atticus yeah. would have never been born, and now his life is completely different, and all these sort of things have happened. So,
yeah,
yeah. That's yeah. why I was a proponent. I was like, you know, don't alter the past. Just, you know, you just have to kind of, unfortunately, stay and watch these things happen. Very traumatic to relive it, but, you know, that's just how it is. They had their mission and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Atticus was on a mission. That leads me to my yeah. next point, just about Atticus. I think he really, in this episode, takes on, you know, that hero figure, the hero role in the show. You know, he agrees to go back to Artem if that means Dee will be saved, even though he knows that, you know, his fate is probably that he's going to die. so Christina can become immortal. Cool. And then, like we mentioned, he becomes that mysterious man back in the 1921 when who saves Montrose and George.
Yeah,
that was crazy. But so I think, yeah, like you said, like maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy, or you know, a hero type, that type of figure. I think he really took on. So now I'm kind of like, do I dislike him? I don't know.
What do you think? Yeah, I think last week I was just really mad at Atticus for, mm-hmm. you know, leaving Jaya. Now, he technically didn't make up, you know, he didn't apologize to her in this episode, and he didn't do mm-hmm. anything to atone for those actions. Yeah. So I think I'm still going to have to withhold a couple points from Atticus.
Yeah.
But, he was very heroic. I think it he deep down has always had this sense of selflessness, mm-hmm. Just not really always considering others. Kind of how yeah. Eddie has always said, right? You have to consider all of us in your mm-hmm. actions, which, yeah, we can talk about Letty as well oh, in yeah. a little bit. But so was he? Yeah, he was definitely more heroic. He was definitely literally like he was stepping up to the plate, like the baseball mm-hmm. bat was at his feet. you know, baseball bat kind of ex machina itself into the script somehow. Yeah. But I really enjoyed that scene, seeing him, you know, pick it up, get ready mm-hmm. to be a hero. And I was waiting for him to like say the line. He was like, you have to say the line. You can't just do it.
I know.
And then, you know, not say it. So yeah, I think just because he was a little more heroic in this episode, he wasn't really too mean to anybody.
Yeah.
I can accept him a little bit. He's okay. He's up a little bit higher now. I'll give you that. Yeah. Much.
I agree. I liked him in this episode, but overall, yeah, I'm still a little salty.
Yeah. You know, I have something that was in the back of my mind, and I wonder mm-hmm. if you think this has been resolved, is when, oh gosh, I don't know if this was either before they went through the portal or during, but mm-hmm. like just as, and, you know, Atticus and Montrose were finding out all these things. Basically, Atticus was like, you know, when this is over, when this is done, when Dee is saved, you know, me and you are done. You know, I don't want to. He's basically breaking off the relationship. I was wondering, yeah. do you think that that's still going to happen, where he doesn't want to talk to Montrose anymore? Or do you think their whole, you know, story, their whole mission basically in this kind of helped to patch that now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that it's been solved. You know, I think he said that more so out of anger. And mm-hmm. obviously we talked about his past with Montrose is not great at all. Not a healthy relationship. But yeah, I think after him seeing everything that he went through, and then, you know, being involved in it too, I think that mm-hmm. might have solved it. What do you think?
I do think that the final scene kind of repaired their relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have any bad blood between one another, especially when they had that talk in the alley and he was talking about, you know, saying that I really want to have a son and all that. So I do yeah. think it's resolved. I hope that there won't be any more tension between them, because it's like, yeah, the stakes are higher than ever now, and they really need to come together and work together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if anything, he'll need Montrose again in the finale. Everything going back to Artem. I can't imagine Montrose not going to Artem with him, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Montrose, that's... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think, like, there's no way he's going alone.
Yeah, that's the one thing. It's like, Montrose has had his problems throughout this whole thing, but he has still really been a family man, and he's still really yeah. been the person to, like, you know, he wants to protect his grandchild, his son, and all these other people. So he, you know, he cares. Sometimes it's just hard to see that.
Yeah, I agree. It's like weird to call him, I wouldn't say it's straight up reliable, because, you yeah. know, he is an alcoholic and all these things, but yeah, when it matters, he'll show up.
Gosh. So. Yeah. As far as now we're thinking about Atticus in like the finale, yeah. gosh, will he survive? You know, I really, I know we all have these ideas. You go ahead first.
No, I was going to say, I think last episode, I thought maybe he was going to die. But then with this one, just him having that, you know, hero figure, I think he's going to see it through. But I don't know if it's going to be a happy ending. Like, I think maybe someone's going to die. Maybe Montrose. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say Letty because I don't want to put that out into the universe.
I know. It's knock on wood.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I'm usually a fan of kind of that like last minute 11th hour save. So like just when you think it's getting bad,
yeah,
the hero has an ace up their sleeve. Now, I don't really know if Atticus is that type of person to have an ace up their sleeve. Like, you know, there's so many characters who are like, you know, just when you think they're at their lowest, they had like one final plan. I'm not... Not to be me, I don't know if Atticus has been that sharp enough to think like 10 steps ahead. That to me isn't really his character. He's more of a just kind of spur of the moment, you know, responding to the action.
Yeah.
So I feel like there might be someone else to have to save him at the last minute. Could be Jaya.
I know. That's what I'm hoping. Somehow, in a way that's not too cheesy or, you know, forced. But
because, she could, I don't know how much knowledge she has about his death or what she sees, but she might be that final person to come in, and the Avengers theme is like blasting when she comes in. Yes. Everybody's clapping and cheering. That's just kind of my own fan fiction. So
I know I'm trying to think of ways that this could happen with Jaya that, you know, would work, and I'm really not sure. Like, could she somehow trick Christina? But now I'm thinking too, I mean, we'll get into Christina and Ruby, but you know, could Christina die? Do we even want that? Because Ruby is so invested. Many questions. My mind is just like going off with random theories. I'm going to have to write these down.
Yeah. I think that to me, there's no redeemableness, if that's a word, for Christina. To make it through, if Jaya were to come in and like pierce her or something and kill her instantly, I would have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Just because it was nice for Christina to help during this, but she still wanted, it was still a quid pro whatever, you know. She still wanted something out of this. You know, the reason I can't say quid pro
Yeah.
Because of Austin Powers, the movie. He said something like squid pro rope. So me as a kid is like, squid pro row. So now as an adult, I cannot say that thanks to Austin Powers, but that's basically what Christina was operating off of. She always, there always has to be something in it for her.
Yeah.
Which I think is even the reason why she's still with Ruby in the first place.
Yeah.
It's honestly hard to say that their relationship has like a solid foundation. And I'm still mad at Ruby too for being in this relationship. Like mad.
I know. Yeah. So let's talk about Ruby and Christina and then how Letitia fits into this too, because you know, now she knows that Ruby is fully into it. And of course at first she's mad, but then they have this conversation when Christina's waiting in the car for Ruby, and Ruby's kind of, you know, scolding Letitia for being with Atticus, and Letitia's mad at her for being with Christina. And, you know, Ruby's like, well, you know, she brought you back to life when her dad shot you, and now she came and is helping us with Dee, and she is fully, you know, I don't know if she's trying to convince herself that the relationship is okay, but she was very, you know, fully defending Christina, which is like, okay, are you guys dating? Are you, what are you? Define the relationship.
Yeah, I really don't. I want to see what I put down in my notes because let's see. I don't know if I made that many notes. All I have here is Ruby quote, F Atticus, just don't hurt my sister, which that was to the point where it was like Ruby doesn't seem to care about whatever's going on as long as Christina protects Letty. Gosh, where am I trying to go with this? I'll just say, and I'll probably come to a conclusion at some point. To me, I don't see why Ruby would be putting Christina over her own family, her own friends, right? She's known Letty, she's known her friends longer than Christina. And the only thing to me that Christina has to offer is this, you know, magic little pill. Mm-hmm. So for Ruby to stick around, even after knowing that Christina has a master plan, like an evil villain, like let's be real and, you know, she now knows that Christina has this plot to kill Atticus. How can Ruby still be like so blasé about this? Like, how,
I know,
is there not anything wrong to her about that? It's like everybody is against Christina, so why are you the only one on her side right now? To me, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. I was shocked when she found out everything that Christina, I mean, not everything, because nobody knows what Christina's going to do, but, you know, her general plan with the Equinox and becoming immortal. And she was like, I just need all of Atticus's blood, like, so casual. Yeah. And Ruby didn't seem to care. She was just like, just don't hurt my sister. Do whatever to Atticus. Ruby has this huge, like, thing against Atticus. And I want to know why.
I'm like, she's because
very against him.
Yeah, which is weird because technically Ruby still had, I was, you know, the waters are still rocky with her and Letty. I don't think even now that they've completely made up. So I don't know if maybe that's her trying to get back at Letty still, or it really baffles me. I have no clue why this is still a relationship that's going on in this show. I think all signs point to, you know, get the heck out of there. You don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, and I would though, like, I would love to not see Ruby on the fence. Like, if she's going to really go all Christina, then let her basically join the dark side.
Yeah.
I think that would be a fascinating kind of turn. So at least we're not like, Ruby, why are you being dumb? You know, stop.
Yeah.
Stop playing around. Let her either fully be with Christina or fully, you know, be with Letty and the family.
Yeah, I agree. And it's sad because we only have one more episode, so I don't think we're going to get, you know, those answers fully fleshed out, but I want them. We need the spinoff of Ruby. It's decided now.
Write to your senators, write to your congressmen, and let them know we need a second season.
Honestly, though, their relationship, it bothers me, but I'm also fascinated just because Christina is so annoying to me. But then I'm also very interested in, like, why is this going on? So conflicted.
I don't know. I'm a little sad that there probably won't be answers to these questions.
Well, another, you know, huge part of this episode beyond just going back in time and seeing everything that happened to Montrose and Tulsa, but, you know, all of this magic is still going on. We saw the one scene with Lancaster, which was like, what? I don't understand what's going on. So basically, Letty confirms that Lancaster died. Mm-hmm. She says, what did she say? She made up an excuse, like an oil spill or something.
I didn't even catch that.
I might be making that up, but she kind of just made up some excuse of how he died. She said something happened on her street or something. So then Christina, you know, obviously as William goes to find Lancaster to see what's going on, and he's dying, but he has, you know, the black torso. And I guess he wants another one. So I'm wondering, like, has he been doing this a lot? Like, they're just taking bodies to use?
That's what it sounds like. They were, you know, using these body pieces to keep him alive. And this was the one time that it just didn't work, which was really weird. I am still confused about the stone that was placed in his room. Remember, like, this whole thing about Ruby and William / Christina was like, she wanted Ruby to put the stone with the little symbol in his office. I don't have a clue what that did.
I know, me either. Yeah, and it was such a crucial thing. Like, that was the reason why. Wasn't that the whole reason why Christina gave Ruby the potion to begin with? Like, she was like, I'll just need a favor eventually. Yeah. And that was the favor. It was like, okay, is there something I'm supposed to know?
And also, so the symbol that was on the rock, it was like part of this protection spell that Atticus found, if I recall. Mm. Yeah. So I was like, is she protecting the captain, or I don't know, that need a lot more explanation. Because even like as he lay dying, when he saw William/Christina taking the stone out of his desk, and he could have been like, oh, it's this. And how could you do that? That just would have been a tiny little satisfying line to tell us what that was all about. Even like the man in his closet, I guess that doesn't really need too much explanation, but I guess it was just a creepy touch. But if there was something more to that, that would have been interesting as well.
Yeah, I agree. Because that guy, they were just trying to get information out of him, right? Yeah. And then they were torturing him. But yeah, then that was like a big scene because it was very, you know, scary and gross. to put it bluntly. and then that was kind of just not explained. So yeah, maybe it was just, you know, to show that he's a terrible person, which we know. Yeah. He's the worst one of the bunch.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was crazy. And that the scene of him, you know, dying was pretty fast too. So they were, you know, explaining a lot of stuff and I was trying to catch up. And yeah, that was another, we mentioned it before, but it was very like the Get Out, you know, taking the black body to use to your advantage. And I was like, oh, no. Oof, terrible.
I was like, just finally just die already, please.
I know. Yeah, that was weird. So, to say the least.
Yeah. you know, I did have a hypothesis last week because we were wondering if that was him that died in the accident. So technically, yes, he was injured. And I was wondering if that would have broken the spell for D. Apparently not.
I know.
I'm still, you know what though? I'm still not really 100% sure what, you know, the Titus Pages and the Hiram Pages or the Horatio Pages and the Book of Names still, you know, how they all intertwine. Mm-hmm. It's like the pages were ciphers for the Book of Names. Because that was obviously really big because they needed to go back to 1921 to get the Book of Names to help D. But yeah, for some reason, it's just there's so many like different little things with that I just completely checked out.
No, I know what you mean. There's a lot of people involved in different ways. And I feel like a lot of it still is vague. Like, we're obviously paying attention, so it shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah, more than the average listener, I would assume, or reader, or watcher. So if that's still confusing to us, I think that's a problem.
I know. Yeah, I'm like watching it two times, and I'm still like, that part, I'm not sure. But I'm hoping that, you know, Christina needs the pages, which she has, and now, they have the Atticus and Letty and everyone, they have the book. So hopefully, you know, once they go to Artem, she's going to use the pages. They have the book. So things need to be explained, even if it's, you know, we just watch it all happen. That's what I'm hoping for. More of like, we'll watch it all unfold instead of, you know, Christina standing there doing her monologue of just facts and history.
I know. Yeah, you know what could be an advantage is that because they have the book ahead of giving it to Christina, they have ample time to study it. You know, they've got a 6-hour car ride back home. So, you know, that's some light reading for them to maybe find a particular spell that they could cast or to use in the final ceremony ahead of the finale or whatever she plans to do to Atticus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot to happen in one episode.
I know.
I had here, do we have a Fear Factor award this week?
Because oh my gosh.
Did you think that parts were scary? I think I was more, you know, sad and emotional. I was.
Yeah. The way that the horror and the frightening images were used this time, weren't so much scary. They were really either used for shock value in an inappropriate way, not just like shocking for the sake of shocking. like, I was interested to see that Dee, she like actually turned into the one of the creepy girls. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I know, like, yeah. That was the one thing that I was like, maybe that was, you know, scary. Also, when she, when Christina was like saying the spell to take it back, her arms were like, it looked like bugs crawling out of there. That was pretty gross. Yeah, I would say more things were, shocking or unsettling.
Yeah. Or the part where Letty watched the Nana or whoever burn up in the fire. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. It was more, intense. That I was also sad, but like, unsettled.
That was really traumatizing, but so not too much scary. There is, in our notes here, there is a part about like at the end too with Letty walking through the fire, not scary, but just a really powerful ending. I really had to give it up to them for this one. They really seemed to nail it with the powerful endings in this one. It was like with the song playing and Letty walking through the fire, and then Hippolyta is like levitating.
I know. Oh my gosh,
there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
So that was really, really powerful. And even like there was this scene where when Montrose is staring out down the street and at the fire, you're like looking through the window at him so you can see the reflection of the fire is like burning within him. I was like, oh, the symbolism. I love that so much. So hats off again to the cinematographer. Really, really nailed it on this episode. I was really impressed.
I agree. Yeah, that's why I feel like it was more emotional than anything, just because not every scene, but most of the scenes were just extremely powerful. And I was just sitting there, just, you know, I feel like now, you know, the last few episodes, I'm just like at a loss for words at the end of every one.
Exactly. And this was one of those, sometimes like if I'm watching a show, if I really want to just like sit and marinate on it, you know, Netflix and all these places are always like, here, click next so you can watch the next episode. Yeah. Sometimes they actually just like for the song to play so you can, you know, just kind of sit during the credits and be like, whoa. So this was the first time where usually once it's over. I click the X button. I'm like, okay, I'm done. This one, I was like, I had to sit and hear the song and the credits and kind of reel over what everything that just happened.
Yeah, I did that too. And then the song and the credits, this was the first time that it wasn't the Cinnamon song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, okay, things are getting real.
I was like, dang it. If this wasn't a once a week thing, like let's say if I were watching, a year from now or something, or Netflix and they just dropped the whole thing, I would have immediately watched episode 10, like no hesitation. I think this was probably one of the best cliffhangers they've had yet.
I agree.
And I was like, dang it, I wish I could just hit the next button and watch the next episode. This is the first time for me that I'm like so frustrated that I can't immediately watch the next episode.
I agree. This is like one of those things where it's like midnight and it's like, all right, I don't really care how late it is, I need to finish this right now.
So I usually have patience. This time it's like, oh, my patience is very thin. I can't wait for the finale.
I know, me either. So many things need to be solved. Do you have any other thoughts to add before we wrap up?
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I just really, I really enjoyed the time travel aspect of this. Again, really Doctor Who, like them having to assimilate in the culture. And I was surprised because, you know, I didn't read the book or any, I didn't finish the book. So I was like, I wasn't expecting them to go back to Tulsa. It was like, they were always talking about it and talking about it.
I
guess it makes sense for them to go back in time and revisit this crucial moment in time that they keep talking about. So I was like, you know, I'm hitting myself because I'm like, I should have known. I should have known that this was going to happen. And man, I have no clue how they're going to wrap things up. Like I said, I want Atticus to live. I want Jaya to come in with that last minute save. And I'm wondering if they could change the course of history, like in that Lovecraft book. George Freeman II, technically already, there's already some weird things about his book, right? Like again,
there's
Dee being Horace and Uncle George living. So I'm like, if there could be changes in his book, then maybe in this timeline there can also be changes. So we shall see.
So excited. So for our listeners, the question that I want you guys to answer is, you know, the one that we're all wondering, we want to know, is Atticus going to survive? What do you guys think? tweet at us and, you know, keep leaving us the good reviews on Apple and leave us questions there. We always go through them and we really appreciate it. And we're sad that the show is almost over.
I know. Well, we're going to do it really big. We're going to make sure we talk about all the moments, bring back all of our favorite guests to discuss, you know, inside and out the finale. So it's going to be, as you know, some people like to say, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a big one.
Oh, totally. Totally. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening and join us back on Thursday for our bonus episode. And we'll see you next episode.
See y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.